listening to the Forza Podcast with your host, Marsh.
All right. What up? What up? What up? It's the Forza Podcast. It is Marsh. And it is April 9th, 2020, week five of No Sports. I'm losing my mind. Fat Marsh is here. He is ready. And he is not that happy, but he's fat. I'm fat right now, everyone. So I'm here. As always, I am joined by my wonderful producer and co-host, Jordan Nelson. Jordan, give me some kind of positivity, please, for the love of God.
That intro sounded like the monologues in what's that movie, This Is the End, when there's the apocalypse at Franco's house?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's day 38, you know, whatever.
Yeah, Franco's getting weird. But man, it's I don't know what day it is. I think it's like week five without sports, and I'm losing my will right now. Like, I don't want anyone to be alarmed, but maybe a little bit alarmed. Like, I'm fat now. Like, I'm a fat, like, pile of shit. Like, I'm sorry for the language, but like, I suck right now. How are you doing?
Dude, I'm doing good. So I ended my diet, which is great. And I've, you know, like I'm still at the weight that I ended at and starting to build some muscle now. So I'm getting back in the workout routine and
sick brag.
Yeah, man. I love it. So
bro, I remember like, cause I'm staying with my brother right now in Salt Lake, and like my third or fourth day here, my friends have a house like a mile away, and I'm like, I'm going to jog there every day. I'm going to jog back. I'm going to do all these workouts. I've worked out once. And all I do, I know everyone listening is super, super intrigued by my life. But what I do every day, I wake up. I complain about not getting a good night of sleep. I go take a nap with my dog immediately. And I watch old baseball movies and old football movies all day. I play NBA 2K until it's not fun anymore. And I eat pizza every single day because that's where I'm at right now. And
that's
a pandemic in itself, Fat Marsh. And I'm not doing good, everyone. I got attacked on Twitter today for no damn reason. Did you see that?
I heard about it. I actually didn't see any of the tweets. I heard what was going on and how you're connected to it. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
I say sup to every woman who talks on Twitter. So, everyone keep me out of this, okay? My gosh, no, this isn't freaking Watergate. Like this isn't Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. Like, just leave me alone.
And it's not. Dude, I don't get it. I mean,
it's so stupid.
I know. It's like, how would you know that this person tweeted things that were not super appropriate like 8 years ago, you know?
And who cares? Can I be so frank with you? Like, who cares? Like, 5 years ago, she's a great person now. Like, am I really going to be like, oh my God, I can't do anything now. Like, this is a completely different person. Like, am I going to be like that? I'm going to be like, no, like, everyone makes mistakes. Like, she owned up to it. I mean, that's a whole nother story, but
yeah.
Do you feel me? You feel what I'm saying, man?
I don't know this situation directly. So, but I understand the point that you're getting at.
Bro, I got text today saying, dude, are you okay? Like, are you okay? I got text this, like, the person who was texting me saying, like, oh my gosh, I got text saying, is Marsh okay? Like, and I'm like, I'm fine. What is wrong with you people? Like, that's when you know that we are in, like, nothing is going on.
Yeah.
Like, we are barren for news and anything right now. And I swear on everything holy, if there is no football season, I am going to balloon up to like 300 pounds, and I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, I graduate school and try to go into sports, the only thing I've been studying for in my life, and the time I graduate, there's no sports. What do I do?
know.
That's my rant, okay? That's my rant. You can talk for a little bit.
Oh man. Well, I mean, so we're gonna do a mailbag, and I don't know, man. It's gonna be a good day. We have a fantastic question to start off. That's gonna take a while, so I think we should do it first. Are you good if we get into it?
Well, I was born ready.
All right. So this is from our friend Ant at OSnap. It's Ant. So his question is, if you could create your dream Miami football team, who would it include? 22 starters from any era and coaches, head, OC, and DC. So this is going to take us like 20 minutes, but I think it'd be a lot of fun.
All right. Okay. Let's start. Let's start with the quarterback. Okay. I got Ken Dorsey. I don't really have to explain why I have Ken Dorsey. If you say, oh, Vinny Testaverde, oh, Craig Erickson, Steve Walsh, shut up. Like, okay. Like, get the hell out of here. Ken Dorsey was, what, 38-2 as a starter?
Yeah.
He holds almost every record. Ken Dorsey won. I've been rewatching the 2001 Canes, and Ken Dorsey was the man. Do you agree with my selection?
Absolutely. I mean, he started, what, 3.5 years?
Yeah.
And, I mean, and realistic, he got robbed out of 2 national championships. So he should have gone 39-1 and won 3 titles back to back to back.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, and honestly, like Reggie Wayne said, if they had 90 seconds more, 60 seconds more, they would have won that Washington game. Like, Ken Dorsey easily could have been 40-0 as a starter with 3 national championships.
Absolutely, man. And you know, I wouldn't say he's like the most talented QB we've ever had, you know, but he just won. He was a leader. You know, we've had people tell us here on the podcast that he was, you know, taken care of, like he was one of the coaches in the locker room. You know what I mean? I read a story from. Oh, wait, no, that was about a different player. So never mind. But anyways, like he was one of the leaders of those teams. He's running drills in practice or, you know, just I love it. Let's go Ken Dorsey at QB.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean. And I don't want to get off on too much of a tangent, but Tom Brady was not the most talent. He's absolutely not the most talented quarterback of all time. Dan Marino has more talent. Aaron Rodgers has more talent. But, like, if you're going to select a team to be the best NFL team, like, you're like, I'm taking Tom Brady. Like, he knows how to win. Nothing is more important than that.
Yeah.
Ken Dorsey knew how to win. Like, you go to any clutch situation, 2000 against FSU, 2001 against Florida State, 2001 against Nebraska. Like, he knew how to win, so.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, man. All right, let's move on to the running back room. Let's do 2 running backs.
All right. I'm taking Willis McGahee and – oh, this is a good one. This is a good one. I'm taking
– I agree with you on Willis, so let's see if we agree on this next one, too.
You're probably going to say Duke Johnson, aren't you?
You know, every part of me wants to, but I don't know if I can put him over some of the other guys. I mean, trust me, like the Duke Johnson stan inside of me wants to say Duke, but I think we got a few other guys that are maybe a little more deserving.
I'll take Willis and... Oh, this is so hard. Willis and Melvin Bratton.
Ooh.
Weird combo, but yeah. I've been just watching a little bit of Melvin Bratton film. He was like a college version of a Marshall Faulk, very dual threat. He catch passes out of the backfield, and then Willis McGahee, I think, is probably the most physically talented running back ever to come through the University of Miami. The dude was 220 pounds. I mean – fastest 40 time he ever ran was like a 4.28. So, yeah, get off me.
Oh, Willis was such a beast. I agree. I think he's in the argument for one of the best athletes to ever come through, more than just running back. I'm going to go with Edge as my other pick, Edgerrin James. There's a few, you know, there's a handful of guys that are in the conversation. I don't think it's a clear cut number 2. But, you know, everyone knows the guys that are there. So.
Absolutely. Okay. So receivers, what? We have three receivers?
Yeah, we'll do three.
All right. Okay. I got Reggie Wayne, Michael Irvin, Santana Moss. No. I got Reggie Wayne. Damn it. I got Red. Oh, this is going to kill me because I want to put Andre Johnson in there. You know what? No, I'm. See, this is a good problem to have when you have such great players to come through your program. Like, yeah. If we were talking BYU players, you'd be like, oh, this. No hesitation, but like University of Miami. You know what? I'm sticking with it. Reggie Wayne, Michael Irvin, Santana Moss.
Okay. I'm going with Andre over Santana Moss.
I can't argue with you. Like, I mean, Andre Johnson's a Hall of Famer. Like, he's going into the Hall. Like, he's going to be a Hall of Famer one day. But, dude, Santana, oh, you put freaking Reggie and Andre as the X and Y receivers, and you freaking slide in Santana as the slot. Oh, good God.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm going Reggie Wayne, Andre Johnson, and playmaker. So.
Yeah. I mean, I just can't go against Michael Irvin. Like, it's almost going against my own father. I can't do it. Okay, yeah. This one. The next position is one that I'm very, very intrigued on because I was asking about it last week. Tight end, who you got?
Dude, well, I think it's only fair, even though this is like probably the best position that we have historically, I think we should only pick one, which is going to make it so hard.
We have to pick one.
Jeez, dude. Oh, man. I mean... There's guys that don't get a whole lot of publicity either, like Bubba Franks, you know, first round pick.
He was the OG of tight end, you man.
I know. I'm going with Shockey, man. I just feel like I gotta go with Shockey.
Dude, I love Shockey. I mean, freaking, I'm just like now noticing how good Jeremy Shockey was. Like just watching this 0-1 team, that dude was incredible. I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for it because of what he's doing now with his life. I'm taking Kelvin Winslow II.
Okay.
Dude, Winslow, besides Njoku's the most athletic tight end we've ever had. Like he's a freak. Like Njoku isn't even human. He's robotic. And, yeah. But Kelvin Winslow, dude, that guy play tight end. Like,
yeah.
He had so much talent. I don't know what happened in the NFL, but in college, I mean, he was a Mackey Award winner in 2003. And dude, his catch against West Virginia from Brock Berlin, he was just so good, man. So I'm going with Kelvin Winslow. Talk heat on me all you want. I know it's controversial, but that's who I'm going with.
Yeah. Okay. So I think for O-line, I don't think we should worry about positions. I think that'd get too hard and take too long. So let's just go five O-linemen.
Okay.
So yeah. I think we got to throw Bryant McKinney in there.
Oh, yeah. Mount McKinney, baby.
Yep.
You know, he didn't allow a sack his entire time here.
That is absolutely ridiculous.
He was a Heisman finalist.
That's one of the most ridiculous stats that you'll ever hear in college football, is that a lineman could play as many games as he did and never allow a sack.
Or an offensive lineman – in the 21st century was like in the top 10 for the Heisman.
Yeah. No, like, that's like some 1946 crap.
Yeah. That's like Vince Lombardi. That's some Vince Lombardi BS.
Yeah.
It's not BS. Like he was literally insane. And so going along with that, I'm going to take Joaquin Gonzalez, another crucial part of that 0-1 team. That dude was just incredible. He would dominate people. He was a leader on the offensive line. Joaquin said dominate, just as Ed Reed said. So I'm going Joaquin my second. Who you got?
Dude, I don't know a lot of the historic linemen very well, you know? Like that's not a position that I know the history of the program very well at.
No, you're good. You're good.
So let's see. I don't know, man. Do you have one on while I'm thinking? Do you have one lined up?
Yeah, I have three. I have my last three. I have Vernon Carey. Okay. I have Brett Romberg.
Okay.
And then I also have actually replace Romberg. I'm going to put Jim Otto on there. He's the OG for Hurricanes. He's in the NFL Hall of Fame.
Yeah, superb athlete. And then I have Leon Searcy. He was in the U30 for 30 part one. He was he protected Steve Walsh, Gino Toretta. I mean, he was a great, great offensive lineman. He was an All-American at Miami. So those are my five.
Okay, well, you know what? I'm going to take your word for it, and that is going to be the official five of the Fours Up podcast. So
I'll take it.
Okay, so let's All go. Right. This one is going to be fun, dude. So let's do the D-line now. We've had some beasts come through here on the D-line. So let's start with the D-tackles and take two of them.
I'm going to take Jerome Brown and Warren Sapp.
Okay.
That's a pretty good starting two defensive tackles.
Yeah, I'm going to go Vince Wilfork and Warren Sapp.
Big Vince. I mean, dude, have you seen the hit that Vince Wilfork put on Leon Washington in the Orange Bowl? Like, not in the stadium, in the actual, like, Orange Bowl BCS game?
Yeah.
He ate him. I know. He ate him. It was incredible. And, no, I love Vince Wilfork. And then, I mean, you got a guy who's in the Hall of Fame like Warren Sapp. Jerome Brown probably would have been in the Hall of Fame if he wasn't taken early and passed away. But D tackles, it's and also I know this is off subject, but Nesta Silvera unblocked me on Twitter. So that's a great thing. Wow. Yes. Yes. Well, this is a big, big day. I just remembered that. So I'm happy again.
Hey, so I want to know real quick. How many times have you used the pickup line, Brevin Jordan follows me on Twitter, and that it actually got you a phone number from a girl?
Zero times has it resulted in a phone number, unfortunately.
How many times have you dropped it?
Many times, or like Tate Martell follows me on Instagram. I've dropped that probably more. I'll be completely honest. Tate, I know you're probably not watching or listening, but thanks for following me, man.
Have you ever seen QB1?
Yeah, he follows me, bitches. We've DM'd.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I love it. Dude, that's how you got to do it, man. That's how you get the wifey, you know? Tate Martell follows me on Instagram. That's what's
Maybe
up.
Not my wife, but yeah. Yeah, sure. Hey, defensive ends, who you got?
Oh, geez, man. I kind of want to say Greg. I really do. But too. That's more hopeful. I think if he puts in another year like he did last year, then I'd throw Greg on there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who are you going with first?
I'm gonna go with Danny Stubbs. He played in the 80s. He leads the sack. He's the all-time sack leader at the University of Miami, 39.5 sacks.
Okay.
He was Jimmy Johnson's first class in 1984. He played from 84 to 87. Great defensive end. He had 17 sacks in 1 year, still a school record. So that's my first one. My second one, I'm gonna say Ted Hendricks is a linebacker. Screw it. I'm going to say Greg Rousseau as my second one. Sorry. Okay.
No, that's fine, man. See, you, I need to read up a little more on the individual athletes. That's, you're killing me right here. So I'm going to go Calais Campbell. And then, honestly, I'd never heard of the Stubbs dude. So I'm going to have to go with Greg as well. So Calais and Greg.
Dude, Calais liked my tweet the other week, and I almost had a heart attack. It was a life changing experience. It was insane. Okay, this is the position I'm probably most excited for, linebacker, because the Hurricanes have had some.
Lamar Miller yesterday, dude. I saw that.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, what the hell? I'm like, what up, Six?
Yeah.
That was crazy. I've really enjoyed. I don't do it every day, but the random cane of the day and classic cane of the day. It's been fun. Jarrett Payton tweeted at me today. Like, finally, I tweeted him all the damn time, and he's never tweeted back at me. It's about time. Freaking Jarrett.
I'm just waiting until Kyle Wright is cane of the day. All right, moving on.
I think I would be Kane of the day before he is.
All right. Okay, go ahead, dude. Tell us your linebackers.
All right, linebackers. I got Dan Morgan, the greatest linebacker ever to come through the University of Miami. I don't care what you say. The second is Ted Hendricks. All-American. He's an OG Hurricane. He's in the NFL Hall of Fame. Third one is Ray Lewis. You can't beat it. How do you trump that, baby?
You can't, because those are the three guys that I had, so.
Hell yeah.
All right. Let's go to DBs. Let's go corners first.
All right, you go first.
Let's see. I mean, you got to go Ontrell Roll, right, with one of them. And then, I don't know, you go with the other one.
All right. I'm going to go, Ontrell Roll, I mean, All-American in 2004. He won the Jack Tatum Trophy. Ontrell Roll's awesome. Second one, it's a hard one, because I kind of want to say Philip Buchanan. I love Philip Buchanan. I loved what he did at the University of Miami. Also a great return man. I am going to, you know what, screw it. I'm going to say Philip Buchanan.
Yeah, he's who I had as well. All right, so let's go with the safeties. We're not going to...
Ed Reed, Sean Taylor.
Yeah,
I mean, no disrespect to Kenny Phillips or Brandon Merriweather, but...
I think you are really overlooking Ray Armstrong right now. No, I'm just kidding.
Wait, who? I'm sorry, Jaquan.
Von Telemach has words.
Hey, no disrespect. Children of Redwine would like to beat your ass, Marshall.
No disrespect to any of those guys, but you can't compete with Ed Reed and Sean Taylor.
Yeah.
All right, so now we're doing let's just throw in return man just so that we can get Devin Hester on this team.
Devin Hester, yes.
Okay, so head coach, I think we're going to agree here.
You go first.
Jimmy.
Yep, Jimmy. Jimmy's the man. Jimmy's the only man.
Yep, he is. Okay, so let's go defensive coordinator.
Butch Davis.
Okay.
Yeah, Butch Davis.
I like it.
Was he a defensive? I don't even know. Was he a defensive coordinator?
Can't remember. I don't know, honestly.
I'm either, Dave Wannstedt or Butch Davis. I really don't know.
Okay.
Defensive coordinator history. I really don't know offense. You know what? I might just say Rhett Lashley for offensive coordinator.
Dude, that's exactly what I was going to do, just to get the people hyped. But now
who was our 2001 offensive coordinator? Chuck Snitsky or something like that?
It was Larry.
Oh, no, 2001. It was Rob Chudzinski. Chudzinski.
What did Larry Coker do? Because I thought he was the offensive coordinator, then we just promoted him.
He was the head coach in 01.
Oh, duh. I'm an idiot. My bad.
You're very smart.
Yeah, he was the OC in 2000, and then we promoted him. Okay, so I'm going to go Randy Shannon for defensive coordinator. Yeah. And then, Chudzinski would be a good one, but I'm going to give Rhett Lashley some love. I can't tell you how much I appreciate Rhett Lashley doing Miami-themed TikToks with his family during quarantine to bring a smile to my
face. Yes, like that's what we've been missing. Like, these are the kind of people we've been missing from this university, like him and like Garen Justice. Like those are the kind of people that like this university needs. Like that's awesome.
And just for the record, when Rhett Lashley ultimately moves on because he's too talented to stay here for too long as a coordinator and not be a head coach, I really wouldn't mind if Garen Justice is our next OC. And then we just bring in like a really good passing game coordinator.
I love Rhett Lashley. I love him. You know, like there was a time where there was a University of Miami Twitter account tweeted out something like they tweeted a picture of campus and say, tag one person who you would like to watch the sunset with here. And I said, Rhett Lashley and Sebastian the Ibis. and Lashley liked the tweet.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it. Man, dude. We are so lucky. just this coaching staff that we have, I hope it pans out and that we don't have a repeat. I really doubt that we will. But I don't know if you were able to read Gabby Arudia. He's at 247 now, and he's killing it. He put out an article today about Rob Likens. It was just a few hours ago, so I don't know if you had a chance to read it.
It's not, but big shout out to Gabby.
Dude, it was a really good article, and I do not think that we got excited enough about Rob Likens. Because Gabby...
We tried to tell people, man.
Dude, Gabby laid it all out, like all of his accomplishments. Did you know he was the passing game coordinator at Cal when they had Jared Goff there?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, speaking of a really good passing game coordinator, you know, we could have Garen Justice and Rob Likens run the show if, you know, if Rhett Lashley were to leave. So,
yeah, I
mean, we have so much talent and so many accolades and like such good resumes for everyone on our offensive staff right now. I really just have a hard time seeing us not improve considerably.
Yeah, well, 6-7, we better improve.
Yeah. We could surprise, man. I mean, if Blake Baker can keep us in the top 30 on defense, which I have a hard time believing that Manny would let us fall out of there, you know, even if he needed to take over the ship like he kind of did last year a little bit. And I just have a hard time believing that we won't be in the top 30 in offense. And, you know, if we do both those things, we're going to be we should be in the Orange Bowl. We really should.
Well, I mean, collegefootballsports.com or something like that projected us going to the Orange Bowl to play Boise State. So,
you know what? You know how fantastic that would be? Because Boise is a team that we could realistically beat. I mean, they're always good and they'll, you know what I mean? But like just man to man, we're going to have more talent, stronger, faster, better. That would be a huge blessing to this program is to play Boise in the Orange Bowl.
Play Boise and then have Brad Kaya give your pump up speech about how much Boise sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Best friend of the podcast. And
can we get him back on? Can we tweet from the Fours Up account tagging him saying, yeah, we miss you? just don't say come on. Just say, hey, Brad, we miss you.
I'm going to tweet him right now.
I love it.
He's
just the golden child of everything.
Oh, dude, Brad. So did you see his announcement yesterday that he signed a contract as a screenwriter in Hollywood?
No.
Yeah, dude.
I'm going to quote tweet him right now.
Yeah. So, dude, how would it be to be as talented as Brad Kaya? Like, he has two dreams, to be in Hollywood and to go to the NFL, and he freaking does both of them, dude.
Yeah.
That's unreal. Good for you, Brad. If you're listening, man, just like big ups. That's so cool. I'm happy for you. Like, keep killing it, bro.
Yeah. Like, you're just such an inspiration. You're the greatest, Brad.
What did you want to say?
And we miss you.
At Brad Kaya, .. We miss you, man.
I love it. And you know what? He's so cool that he'll just be like, ha. Hell yeah.
Okay, I just sent it.
Yeah, I tweeted at him too. Look at us go. All right, what's the next question?
Dude, Brad is the greatest. Shoot. Okay, sorry, my phone is being difficult. All right. Yeah, it took us about 20 minutes, but I think it's good stuff. Okay.
Also, quick announcement, shout out to Stephen Ortiz Jr., yeah, friend of the program, committing to the University of Minnesota.
Yeah, no, congrats, Stephen. That's really cool. And, you know, our buddy Cliff Dubois is his uncle. And, you know, happy for you guys, the whole family. It's a big day, and I'm sure Stephen's going to be a star there at Minnesota. I wish things would have gone differently, but, you know, I'm happy for him.
And you know what? Maybe something will change, but as of right now, like, I mean, they were a top 15 program. Like, they have a great head coach. Like,
yeah,
wonderful, great place to come. Yeah. I originally thought he said Mississippi State, and so I texted Cliff. I'm like, bro, like, he's going to Mississippi State. My family's moving to Mississippi. Like we can hang out all the time, man. And then I read Minnesota. I'm like, oh, damn.
Yeah. Yeah. I just need to rant for a minute. I can't stand when people tell me on Twitter that, like, he's not tall enough or anything. He has offers from programs that are way better than we are right now.
Our last cornerback, Trajan Bandy, stood about 5'4".
I know. And if he's getting offers from Oregon and Penn State and Washington, all programs that have been way better than us in the last 15 years, like, I don't want to hear it. If he's good enough to play at those schools right now, he's good enough to play at Miami. So.
And Minnesota is a much better program than us right now. So.
Yeah. I mean, right now. Yeah, I really like PJ Fleck, so.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I trust Mario Cristobal a lot more than the idiots on Twitter, so.
Yeah. All right, here's a good one. This is from our man, Ethan. Shout out, Ethan. I appreciate how often you interact with us, bro. If we were D1 athletes, Marsh, and could play at Miami, what position are we playing and why?
Well, I'd say tight end.
Okay.
Because that's what I played growing up, and I love just the position of tight end. Just the pass catching guy, but a guy that can level someone with a block. And so, I'm going tight end.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm a big dude, so I'm like 6'3", 260 right now. And, I can't say that I'm playing like running back or something. dude, you know what? I'm going to go for it. I'd play QB, man. You should see me in turkey bowls. I'm scrambling around, just hitting those tight windows just on instinct. You know, it's just got that feel for the game, man. I'm regularly turkey bowl MVP, so. I don't know.
If I was quarter, like I could have been a four-star, like high school quarterback. Like, I mean, if my high school did not go to a triple option, my life could be completely different right now. I have the arm of a god.
Yeah. So I don't know how turkey bowl success translates to D1, but
Utah turkey bowls when we're playing against guys who are. Like elders, quorum presidents. Nobody listening will know what that means, but it's funny. Trust me.
Yeah, these balding 28-year-old BYU students is who were
losers.
I'm just carving those guys up every Thanksgiving. So it's brutal out there, dude. And I feel bad for everyone that has to try to cover against me. So
I'm kind of like a lame version of Jay Cutler. I just have a really strong arm and like. I don't really give a damn like what people think, but like I suck. So yeah, maybe I'm just Jay Cutler.
Yeah. Well, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do. All right. This is from our boy, Travis Bruce. If you had to guess how many yards does De'Aaron King throw for, how many touchdowns does he throw for, how many touchdowns does he rush for, and how many interceptions does he throw? So we're going passing yards, passing touchdowns, rushing touchdowns, and interceptions.
I'm going to say 3,400 passing yards.
Okay.
33 touchdown passes, 10 rushing touchdowns, and 13 interceptions.
Okay. So I just had these numbers appeared to me, so it must be divine. So I'm going 3,100 yards passing. I'm going 36 passing touchdowns, or no, 34 passing touchdowns and 6 interceptions.
Oof.
So I think he's gonna have a great year, man. I really do.
Yeah.
Rushing touchdowns. I think we're gonna be really rush heavy this year, so I'm gonna say 12 rushing touchdowns. I think he puts up 48 or 46 touchdowns on the year.
That's pretty good.
Yep.
That's pretty good. Okay. What's next?
Let's see. I want to make sure I spread the love around because we had a few of our friends submit multiple questions. Okay, here's from our man Gunner. Rank the top 5 QBs in the ACC overall. But Trevor Lawrence has to be number one.
Yeah, I mean, they're saying right now that if he were to enter the draft right now, he would go above Tua and Joey Burrow. And they were saying the same thing last year. If Trevor was to declare after his freshman year, he would go number one overall. I think Trevor Lawrence is fantastic.
Oh, absolutely, dude. He might look like Sarah Jessica Parker, but man, can he throw football.
He is really, really, really good. Okay, number two.
Derek, man, don't even. Don't.
Yeah, I'm gonna say De'Ara King number two.
You're gonna say that Sam whatever kid from North Carolina.
Sam Howell. I'm putting him number three. I really like Sam Howell. I mean, he threw for 3,600 yards, 38 touchdowns.
I think he's good. I think he's a little overrated. I think he's a little overhyped right now. I think he's good though.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was so happy when he, because I think he was originally committed to FSU.
Yeah, he was.
And I'm just so happy he's not in Tallahassee right now. So, yeah, he's number three. Number four, I'll probably give it to Kenny Pickett from Pitt. I like him. I think he threw for like just over 3,000 yards last year. I don't know why I know these things. But yeah, he's a really good quarterback. And then the fifth one, I'm going to say Sam Hartman from Wake Forest.
Okay. I'll take it. I agree with you, man. I'm sticking with your top five. I'm glad you put De'Aaron King number two though, or I was going to have to throw a fit. I will not tolerate Sam Howell stuff. Yeah. 38 touchdowns is cool, but do you know, it's not as cool as 50. It's not as cool as 50 touchdowns. So all of you,
if you can do that in the ACC, then yeah.
Yeah. All right. So let's keep going. Okay. This is from Cosmo 251 at Frankie Cosmo. Who will be this year's DJ Dallas from a fan favorite on the offense this year? So he's talking leadership and personality. Like who's going to be the natural leader on offense?
I'm going to say Brevin Jordan.
Okay.
Just because Brevin has that same mentality that DJ has. Very team first kind of a guy.
Yeah.
Brevin's a flashy guy, but he's all about the team. He's all about Miami. He loves the University of Miami. And so I'm going to go with Brevin.
Yeah. All right. That's a great pick. He'd probably be my second pick, but I'm going to go with Cam Harris. I absolutely love how Cam Harris has handled the offseason with people transferring and all that stuff. I love the intensity. I love his Miami against the world mentality. Like, you're either with us or you're against us. You know, his tweets when Lorenzo Lingard transferred, just, oh my gosh, I just adore.
Sorry, Harris. I don't know who that guy is.
Oh, he's not important.
Yeah.
He's the third string running back for the Florida Gators.
Yeah, so am I.
Yeah, right. So, yeah. So I'm going Cam Harris. This is from our dude Miami Mondo. So he's everyone in Kane's fam knows who Mondo is.
Mondo.
Yeah, dude. He's the GOAT. Would you be okay with football in September, but no fans allowed in the stands?
No.
I mean, I'll take it. Like, do I want that? But I'll take it.
You know how much, like, the fans play into college football? If we were playing at Hard Rock Stadium in 2017 against Notre Dame, we wouldn't have won that game.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, people don't like to hear it, but it's true. I mean, I'll take it because it's more than nothing. I can start gambling again, but like, it's not even just about the Canes. Like, I go to all the home Utah football games. Like,
yeah.
It sucks not going to the games. Like, could you just imagine like a live broadcast of Fowler and Herbstreit and just all you can hear is like chatter on the sidelines?
Uh-huh.
That'd be hell. Not be hell because I love Fowler and Herbstreit. Those guys are the goats, but. I'm saying it right now, September 5th, I will be at Hard Rock Stadium.
Yeah, me too. We should, maybe we'll have to do our live show that day instead.
Let's do it.
Okay, well, I can move my ticket anywhere, so let's plan on it. Okay, so the Marquis de Miami, one of my favorite guys on Twitter. What stadium? This is a great question, by the way. What stadium do you wish Miami could have as their own, not including the OB or Hard Rock? So he wants to know if we can have any environment, any stadium in college football, what would we have? I'm going to go with Clemson Death Valley, just because, I mean, we've talked to two guys in the last month that were former Miami players that said that it was the loudest thing they've ever experienced in their life.
I was going to say Clemson, too, just because I think it was – I don't know who it was. I know one of them was probably Brian Monroe and the other was LaVon Ponder, I want to say. But, yes, Clemson was going to be what I was going to say. If not Clemson, I'd say LSU, the other Death Valley. Night games in LSU, I've heard, are just nuts out of this world. That or Penn State.
Yeah.
Like when Penn State does their whiteout, it's BA.
Yeah. So that was actually what the Marquis de Miami said. His answer was LSU Death Valley. So, okay. So this is from our dude Zach, Hurricane Zach. He says, "What is your favorite thing about being a Miami Hurricanes fan, and why?"
I'll let you answer that first.
All right. First, I just want to shout out to Zach. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate your question. For me, I mean, you got to understand where I come from as a Miami Hurricanes fan. I grew up in Utah. There's not a lot of Miami Hurricanes fans here. And plus, you know, like there was that BYU game in the 90s where they beat a number one ranked Miami. So, like, generally people don't like Miami here, you know, especially the middle-aged people. So for me, it was one, I love their uniforms. I've always loved the color orange. It's my favorite color. So I just loved that it was my thing. You know, I loved the history. I loved watching the NFL players on Sundays and knowing like that's my dude, you know, because he went to Miami. But it was because I had something to myself and that kind of emboldened my fanhood when people would hate on it. It made me love them even more. It's like, these are my guys. I'm sticking with them. You know, when we'd have a bad season, it'd be hard during that year, but the next season I'd come back even stronger. So, I mean, I know that's probably a unique perspective in the fan base, but that's mine.
No, that's a great answer. The reason why I love being a Miami Hurricanes fan is, it's because it's where I'm from, man. I grew up going to games in the Orange Bowl. I grew up crying over losses to Florida State. I grew up with this team. I mean, I'm fans of the Cowboys and the Yankees and the Heat, but nothing makes me feel more proud to be a South Floridian than the University of Miami. I can't tell you the joy that it brings me when I see this team doing well and the pain that it brings me when they're doing bad. But for better or for worse, I'm a Hurricane. And I mean, I care about this program probably more than the normal human should, normal 25-year-old at least. But I love this program. Like I don't know how, I know everyone wants a elaborate answer, but at the end of the day, like, I love the Canes. The Canes are, I mean, I'm Hurricanes Marsh for a reason. Like, yeah. I live and die with this program, and I love the University of Miami so much, even though they rejected me when I wanted to go to school there. But I love the Hurricanes. I love the players. Like, I've transitioned my life to a point where I'm studying and working to become like a next beat reporter for the Hurricanes. And so, I mean, they've completely changed the course of my life, man. And I'm grateful for them for it.
Yeah. Oh, I love it, man. It's, you know, and now that I know more people in the fan base, like, it's such a family, you know. I think that's another thing that I loved was in the NFL, there was such a brotherhood from Miami alumni. And, you know, now that I've gotten more into the Twitter scene since we started this and made so many friends in South Florida, Dude, it's a family, and I understand the brotherhood better now from just interacting with Canes fans, and it's a unique thing, man. I'm fans of lots of different things, and there's nothing like Canes fam. Like, people just, they band together over it. Maybe it's that Miami versus the world mentality, you know?
I tell everyone, like, the weekend I was in Orlando for the UF game, I walked into this, the pre-party for the Gator game, and people knew who I was. Like, at no other point in my life where I walked into a place and people were like, oh, man, you're Marsh, right? Like, can I get a pic? Like, yeah. You want me to buy you a drink? Like, that kind of love is, I mean, freaking Big Spade, like, one of my best friends on – throughout Hurricanes fam, he checks in on me like every week saying like, you know, you good, man. Like, James edit, Kane's edit. Like, he always checks in. Like, it's definitely much more than just a football program. It's like you said, it's Miami against the world. And so you take those relationships and they're close to you, bro.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. I mean, it's gotten to the point where I'm talking to Canes fans in my personal time every day, and I love it, man. It's good stuff. This is a good time of life for me. So I appreciate you guys. Thank you. All right. So let's see what the next question is. Okay. This is from Dave Levbarg. I hope I pronounced that right, Dave. At D Levbarg. How do we figure out how to get these kids to stay for 4 years? I understand leaving for the NFL if you're a lock in the first or second or even third round. How many kids have left too soon, hurt themselves and the program? So my answer to this is that we need to start winning again. Because if you put yourself in these kids' shoes, a lot of them, like, so if... I mean, why would these kids come back? Like, if we're not going to win anything, they need to make a career decision, you know, like, cause there's only two reasons to come back. And one is for pride in winning a championship. You know, that's what Ed Reed did, right? He came back so he could win a championship. And the other reason is to improve your draft stock. You know, if you feel like the draft stock isn't going to improve much, then there's no reason to stay if you're not going to win.
Yeah, I mean, Ed Reed could have been a high draft pick after the 2000 season, but he came back to not only maybe improve his draft stock, but he came back to win a national championship, and he wanted to finish what he was a part of starting. So I think players will come back if there is a sense of real pride in the program. I mean, look at Clemson. They just got their top running back to come back for his senior season. Alabama gets top players to come back for their senior seasons because they believe in what they're building at those universities, and they believe that they can contend for something special. I mean, Jaquan Johnson came back for his senior year because he believed the 2018 Hurricanes could be something special. Obviously, they weren't, but he definitely believed in something. And so, and I don't fault the players who left early at all. I mean, like guys like Trajan Bandy, DJ Dallas, like if you were going to leave after last year, I would have left too. We have to win. And when we win, the entire city of Miami rallies around this football team, and you get a real sense of, man, this, I don't want to leave UM. And I think it all comes down to winning first and foremost.
Yeah, absolutely, man. All right. This is from Ivan Hood, 305. Better season, Quincy Roche or Jalen Phillips? The default answer has to be Quincy Roche, I think. I think, you know, this, like, Roche is proven, you know. Phillips, for all of his talent, he's going to need to earn, to me, he's going to have to earn the hype. Roche is definitely going to be the starter going into the year. I'd bet my life on it. And I think, I mean, dude, like, the guy's earned respect. He might be a top, you know, he might go in the first 1 to 3 rounds of the draft. You know, he's the returning sacks leader. Like, dude, Roche is, I mean, he's
man. Good.
Yeah, or, he's not the sacks leader, but he was the number one graded in PFF. Pro Football Focus graded defensive end. So, I mean, dude, it's like he's the dude. I'm not sure the Canes fan base is ready for how good he is.
Yeah, I mean, I love Quincy Roche. I mean, I was leading the charge for him to come to Miami. I mean,
shooter.
And I love what he brings to the table. I think he's a great complement to Greg Rousseau. I think they're going to double team Rousseau a lot, and that's going to open up Roche and his opportunity to get to the quarterback. I think Roche is going to have a great season, but that doesn't mean I don't think Jalen Phillips is going to have a great year. I think Jalen Phillips is going to have a great year and then an even better 2021. And so I think Quincy Roche has the better season. But that's not to downgrade Jalen Phillips at all. I think Phillips is going to play a pivotal role in our pass rush, kind of like a Trent Harris or, you know, someone else. And so, I do think Quincy Roche is going to be like a first team all conference kind of a guy.
Yeah, no, I mean, echo what you said, because you said it better than I did. So I think Phillips will be good too, but I think he's more of in a, just because of his lack of football, I think he's going to have to earn it, you know, kind of the way that, now I'm not comparing the two because it was lunacy, but kind of the way that Greg had to kind of earn his time on the field. Right. And he definitely did a lot earlier than game six, but if that makes sense, I think because of the experience and the, you know, just, you know what I'm trying to say.
No, I totally understand what you're trying to say. Yeah. I mean,
I think Phillips is supremely talented, and I agree with you. I think he's going to kill it in 2021.
Absolutely. Let me ask, I posted on Facebook to a Hurricanes group page for questions. The first one comes from Nicholas Richardson. He says, who will be our number one receiver, and does our D-line have a chance to be dominant?
You want me to answer, or do you want to go first?
You go first.
Okay, the D-line will definitely, bet my left testicle on it, be dominant. Like, we are going to dominant next year. Like, probably the most dominant defensive line in a few years in the whole college football. We will be incredible. Our number one receiver is... D. Wiggins. We love D. Wiggins.
Yeah, I mean, everyone knows my answer on this. I love D. Wiggins. I love his speed. I love what he brings to the Rhett Lashley offense. I think he can become a dynamic, deep threat guy with De'Ara King, a guy who can actually get the ball to him. And I love just like his skill set. People don't realize how fast D. Wiggins is, and they just – like I said last episode, they just want to remember the drops he had his freshman year, but that's ridiculous and stupid. Will our defensive line be dominant? Absolutely. I think not just our defensive ends with Greg Rousseau, Quincy Roche, Jalen Phillips. I think Nessa Silvera along with Jordan Miller and John Ford, big John Ford, I think they're going to create a top five defensive line in the entire country.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think we're going to create a top one defensive line in the whole country.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, next question. Do you think we can use Tate Martell in different wrinkles in the offense?
Absolutely, we should. I think it would be – I mean, we talk about, you know, making things complicated for the defense, right? If you put De'Ara King and Tate Martell in the same backfield, what do you do as a linebacker?
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. If you lined them up next to each other, first of all, you didn't know who the snap was going to. Second of all, you didn't know if either was going to run or pass. You know, like, I know that Tate hasn't really proved a whole lot with his arm yet in Division I college football, but, I mean, he has to be good enough that you respect it at least, right?
Exactly. And everyone's going to talk heat on me because they know that I'm a Tate guy and – but, I mean, so is Manny Diaz. So is Urban Meyer. They're all Tate guys. there's a reason that he was so heavily recruited, and Dan Enos screwed him up beyond all odds. But I think that with Rhett Lashley's creativity, I think Tate Martell can definitely serve a purpose in this offense, and a very effective one. Being a guy, you know, some kind of trick play or whatever, I think he can be a secret weapon for the Hurricanes, kind of like a Cordell Stewart or Taysom Hill for the Saints kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Okay, there's one more question on Facebook. Let me get to it. Okay, which of the three OCs on the staff will be in the box and why? So I guess, yeah, we have three offensive coordinators on the staff. We got Rhett Lashley, Rob Likens, and Garen Justice. And so who is going to be in the box? I don't know. I should know. I'm kind of an idiot, but I guess
the Likens will be in the box.
Okay.
That would make the most sense to me. I mean, just because he has experience as a passing game coordinator and receivers coach and offensive coordinator, I guess Garen Justice has experience as a run game coordinator and an offensive coordinator. But I mean, that just makes sense to me, you know, just so he can call down and kind of look at the big picture of what the defensive backfield is doing. It'd be a little easier to see the whole game from up there as opposed to being on the sideline.
Yeah, I completely agree. And more so than that, I think Rhett Lashley is the kind of guy that can talk to a quarterback when times are getting rough. I think if we are down 20-13 against Virginia Tech in the fourth quarter, I think Rhett Lashley is the guy that can talk to D.R. King and, you know, face to face, not, you know, through a microphone or a headset. So, yeah, I like Likens in the box. Good answer.
Thank you. All right, I just barely got a question from our man Casey Nevajay. I like this question. Thank you, Casey. Besides jumping off a bridge, what activities would you recommend to cope with the uncertainty of there being a 2020 football season? I'm going to throw knitting and shuffleboard into the mix. I think jumping off a bridge sounds really great.
Screw it. I mean, don't put these negative thoughts in my head. I don't know what I'll do. Like, are they asking, like, what are we going to do? What do we do when there's no football?
What do we do to cope? I don't think I can cope with that. I think that is beyond my coping abilities.
Football is literally my life, like my career. Like, yeah. I have a career. I'm getting paid because of football. And when there's no football, Marsh is going to be out on the streets like a bum. Like, I don't know what the hell I'm going to do if there's no football. I don't know. Like, as first world problem as that sounds, like, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Prison, like, Marsh, dude.
I don't know. Like, what the hell? What do I do? I'm stuck. I'm stuck in a rut. And life is hell. And if September 5th comes around and there's no game against Temple, I don't know what I'll do. You know how much I freaking labored and freaking wrote about Rhett Lashley coming here and Derek King coming here, Quincy Roche coming here? People laugh, and it's okay to laugh. But, you know, like, I've put my damn work in, and I have to see this team succeed.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, as selfish as that sounds.
I'm with you, man. I mean, I know you've put in at least double the amount of work that I have, but, like, we've spent a lot of time on this podcast too. You know how disappointing it would be to go into a football season that we'd have to run this podcast for like 18 months before we get a football season?
Oh God. Oh, I can't imagine anything worse.
I know, dude. Like,
that is hell on earth.
You think we're running out of topics right now? Just wait till it's a year and a half from now, when we're in like July 30th of 2021, and there's been no football.
Bro, just imagine July 20th, 2020, and if there's no football, I might jump off a bridge. There's not a lot of bridges in Utah, but, like, I am running out of options here.
We'll be calling people up asking about what the first week of spring practice was like a year and a half ago.
We'll be calling Gabby Urrutia. So, like, back in 2020 spring, what were the biggest takeaways from that first week?
Yeah, dude.
Oh God, dude, I can't take it.
Remember that far? I mean, I know half the team has gotten married and had a family since then, but who's your guy? You know, dude, it's gonna be horrible.
Yeah, it sucks. Everything is. Damn you, Corona! Like, damn that bat to hell that started this whole thing. I hope that bat is burning in some underworld where, like, frickin' Bobby Petrino is there and Rex Grossman is there. I hope that bat is burning in some hell.
Yeah.
Because it has screwed up and ruined my life.
Well, if it makes you feel better, that bat is poop by now because a human ate it, so.
Oh, yeah.
The bat is poop.
Well, I hope that human, he's an idiot for eating bat.
Yeah.
I what the hell is he thinking right now?
Oh, I thought it would be a good idea. I was just really hungry. Like, who eats a bat, you maniac?
I know.
We have football. We have the ACC Coastal to contend for.
I know, man. The people in those videos that eat all the weird animals, those are some idiots, man.
They're so stupid. Like, what the hell is wrong with you that you're so selfish that, like, you're going to do this thing that's going to affect millions of people? Obviously, you didn't know that. But, like, why do you have to do such stupid things to gain publicity? Are you so sorry with your lame-ass life that you have to go, oh, I'm going to eat a bat today? Like, just live your life like a normal person, you sack of shit. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But, like, that's how I feel. Like, it has ruined my life. I'm fat now. I don't do anything. I'm sitting here. I watched 2 hours of the 1996 World Series last night. I have nothing because you ate a bat, okay? Wake up and be smart. Think about others than yourself, you stupid idiots. Oh, God, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and now your Twitter girlfriend's in trouble, too.
Oh, you P.O., you bastard. And now my Twitter girlfriend's in trouble. Tay, are you okay? I hope Tay's okay right now listening to this. If she listens, she probably doesn't, but whatever. What else you got?
Oh, man. This very well could be the last episode of Force Up. I'm just kidding.
What the hell?
No, I'm just messing. I'm just saying, people are strange, man. They'll go after you for anything these days.
People are so weird.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, I'm not gonna get into it, but my gosh, people are weird. People are just weird. Like, why can't you just be normal? Like, why can't you just tweet about freaking football like I do? The only thing that matters.
Oh man, yeah.
My blood pressure's rising. I can feel myself getting angry. I'm shaking.
I can feel your blood pressure over here.
I gotta meet with my doctor. All right, what else you got?
Oh man, hold on. I closed my phone out while I was laughing really hard at you. So.
Not at me, with me. You're laughing with me.
Yes, my bad.
Thank God.
Close one.
Yeah. Swiping the sweat off my brow.
Yeah. Okay, let's go another one from Gunner. I think this is our last one. Another one from Gunner. Does Miami pull a top 10 recruiting class with 9 or 10 wins?
Wait, repeat that?
Sorry, I got tongue-tied. Does Miami pull a top 10 recruiting class if we win 9 or 10 games this year?
Didn't we talk about this like last week with Cam or the other week with Cam?
We did. And the answer is affirmative. We definitely do.
I mean, yeah, if we get 10 wins and we get an Orange Bowl, I mean, I think we were the 8th ranked class after the 2017 season. And I think that this team could be a hell of a lot better than the 2017 team.
Yeah.
Like, no disrespect to Malik Rozier, but we actually have, like, a quarterback now.
Yeah.
Like, we have weapons.
Like, we have Brevin Jordan. We have freaking – we have so many people. We have Quincy Roche, Jalen Phillips, and Gregory Rousseau. Like, no disrespect to the 27 team, but, like, I'll take Gregory Rousseau over Chad Thomas any day.
Yeah.
And if we can crank out 10 wins like I think we are going to do, I think we do go 10-4, then, yeah, absolutely, I think we can pull in a top 10 class. It's Miami. What kid doesn't want to, like, if your home team is good and you're living in South Florida, why wouldn't you want to go play for the Hurricanes?
I don't know, but it happens. Bags, dude. That's crazy. Why.
Craziness. The bags. Yeah. You want me to freaking go up to Terrence Lewis, big time recruit, to say, hey man, you want the $25 that's in my account right now to go play for the Canes?
Probably not.
People are gonna be like, what the hell? It's a joke. Get over yourselves. Shut the hell up.
I'm starting a GoFundMe to get James Williams here.
Well, what did freaking Xavier said that he's going to be a Cane, so.
Yeah. A
few weeks ago.
I hope that's true.
I don't know about that, yeah.
I mean, I trust him, but I also have been a Miami fan long enough to know that my heart's going to definitely be broken at least 6 times every year.
Romello Height, man. Remember him?
Yeah, I was actually going to make a joke about Romello Height when you said, why wouldn't you come to Miami? And I said, I don't know. Maybe you're taking secret visits to Auburn and posting it on your other Facebook account.
What a shit show that was, man.
How much of a weirdo do you have to be to go through stuff like that, dude? To have other another Facebook.
Just be straight up. Like, just be honest. Why can't people be honest?
Yeah, and then... When people are like, hey, he took a visit to Auburn. He posts a picture of his feet.
Like, what the hell?
I could take a picture of my feet from anywhere.
Yeah, you want to see my damn feet?
Yeah.
Like, freaking just be on. Like, people just be honest. Like, if you don't want to go to Miami, just say it. I won't be offended.
Yeah, like when I was in
your playing career, it's not mine. You want to go where you want to go. You don't want to go to Miami? Then just say it.
Yep.
Like, just say it. If Auburn's making a push, just say it. Like, yep. I won't be offended. The people who will be offended are idiots or stupid idiots who have nothing better to do with their lives. Like, if you want to go to Auburn, just say you want to go to Auburn. Like what the hell?
Yep.
Like, what the hell?
Yeah. Dude, it was a good rant. I really like it.
I'm not smart. I'm not a smart man. I'm kind of dumb, but my rants are sometimes pretty good.
you're not giving yourself enough credit. I think you're a very smart man, Marshall. And your rants are very good, okay?
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're humble.
I just want to be humble, man. Okay, do we have anything else?
No, but do we have anything else? I don't really want to end. I feel like we're rolling, dude. I'm vibing right now.
Yeah, I do, right? It feels good. Back with the boys. Like,
drink 2 cans of Mountain Dew Zero Baja Blast during this podcast, and I am vibing right now, dude. I got a candle lit in here.
God, like, is there anything you want to debate, like, right before we go off? Like,
because
I'm feeling it. Who are you going to vote for
president, Marsh? No, I'm just kidding.
Wait, don't answer that.
I said, who are you going to vote for president? But that was a joke.
I don't know right from left. I don't know politics. Like I said, when it comes to real world things, I'm dumb. I don't know what the hell politics is. Like, I can tell you what makes Derek King a great quarterback, and you know how explosive Quincy Roche's first step is, but when you ask me something that pertains to the real world, I'm like,
I don't know. Miami went 6-7 last year. What do you think about that?
Like, people come up to me at family functions and say, "Marshall, how are you?" I'm saying, "Well, you know, we went 6-7 this year. I don't know how we're doing. You know, my whole thought process is football. I don't know anything else. I'm an idiot. I'm not an idiot, but like,
you know, we all know that you're not actually an idiot. So that's the best answer that you can give to political questions. Is you just say, like, "I don't know anything about politics, so I don't know."
I'll just stay with, you know, we went 6-7 last year, or, you know, we're 6-1, Va Tech coming into town, you know. I'm not sure.
That right there shows that you are not an idiot. You're a very smart, diplomatic man. But I always get,
dude, I am diplomatic. Damn it. I am diplomatic. You know, when I first got off my mission, I wanted to go into pre-law and become a politician. I was going to become a congressman because I can talk to people, and apparently you have to know a lot more than talking to people and people skills than to run in office. So I dropped that really quickly and studied sports journalism.
Dude, if bartenders can do it, you can do it.
Damn it, you're right.
I know, right?
Okay, and also, are we going to get this congressman from Utah, former Miami Hurricane, on the pod?
I hope. So we haven't been able to pin down a conversation just yet. I'm sure he's a very busy man, but, you know, it's
we're working on it. I can't believe how is a former Miami Hurricane running for Congress in the state of Utah?
Well, it's so he actually I read up on him a little. So he's a first-round pick by the Jets. Played for the Jets and then the Raiders, won a Super Bowl with the Raiders. And then while he's with the Raiders, he joined the LDS Church or the Mormon Church, same thing, and moved to Utah.
We have to get him on.
Yeah, we do have to get him on because he's pretty much us. So,
like, he is us. Like,
yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah, he is. He is us. So. But you know, he's running a political campaign, so I'm sure he's pretty busy.
Yeah, I ran for senior class president. I won, by the way, but some certain things came up. I couldn't go into office.
There were some allegations and some money was transacted.
Like, some people weren't happy with me.
There was some hush money paid.
Yeah, jackasses. Oh God.
So that politics, you know what I always answer? Because this is true. I don't vote. I don't really believe in party politics. I don't like political parties. I think they're all about money. I mean, I have my views, but I don't really believe in the party system. So I don't vote for people because that's just supporting parties, right? And dude, even that answer gets me roasted. Like, if someone like a Democrat and Republican are arguing about who they're going to vote for, and then I'm like, "Oh, I don't vote," then they both turn and tell me I'm an idiot.
It's just crazy. People spend all this time arguing on Twitter every single day about these politics. And like, yeah, we do it about football, but that's different.
Here's my take on that. Like, people treat politics like it's a team sport. Like, their guy getting into office is more important than anything, and you're lying to me if it's anything more than your team winning. You know what I mean? But here's the thing, though, is the fate of America is a lot more important than a team sport. So if your life is totally consumed by your political party, find a sports team. Do America a favor and find a sports team.
Yeah.
Like, take all that passion out on the New York Yankees rather than
like cheering for the Yankees.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is like, if you need to feel like you're a part of something, cheer for a sports team. Don't cheer for a political party.
Well, yeah, whatever. I mean, people are nuts, man. People are bat shiz crazy. I just want to talk about football all the time. I, you know what? And we can end on this because I'm ranting. Like, I think it was last Friday, I was laying in my bed and I had been like doing some, like, I've been doing my articles for the State of the U, like about the 2001 Hurricanes, just talking on Twitter. And I realized, like, my whole life is football. Like, as I'm not a player or a coach, but like my whole career and everything, it's all football. And so like, if you're talking about something else, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. And so people, if you're listening, like, don't talk politics. Like, let's just talk football, because I want to be involved in your conversations. I know you want me to be involved in your conversations because I'm a high strung guy, but like, just talk football. Like, let's just talk sports. Sports are fun. Like, don't freaking gnaw at each other every single day. Like, it's Tyson and Holmes. Going freaking 10 rounds. Like, come on, let's just talk sports. Like, come on, everyone be like me. Can't everyone just be like me?
Yeah. Dude.
I'm foaming at the mouth.
I'm having a hard time, Carrie. I'm so disappointed in that there's no sports that I've had to branch out. Because talking about sports for me right now is like talking about an ex-girlfriend that you're not quite over. Like, it's toxic. You know what I mean? The more I talk about it, the more I feel it, and then the more of a shell of a human being I become.
Yeah, I'm a shell. I'm a tortoise. Like, I belong on the Galapagos Islands with just football nerds.
Dude, so I've been getting into weird hobbies, like, just, you know, like, I've been really into vexillology lately, which is like the affinity of flags and their designs.
Good God.
No, dude, that's
holy
not just
shit.
Yeah,
you need sports.
Dude, I've been shopping on Amazon for different historical flags to fly in my parents' front yard. I've spent easily 5 hours in the last week shopping for flags. I've been listening to the audiobooks of Star Wars novels.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing. It's a very beautiful thing. I've been playing this video game where it simulates the life of like a mid-level noble from medieval Europe. So you're like the count of some tiny little 6 square mile like village, and it's just like a simulator of what his life would be like. And yeah, dude, I play that way too much. So.
All right. Alrighty.
Okay. Yeah. I realize that all of this is very sad.
I mean, it's, you're doing more with your life than I am right now, which is just, I spend about 9 hours a day praying that sports will come back. And then more hours figuring out my gambling addictions, and then more hours watching film on the 2001 Hurricanes. And so I don't do a lot right now. I'm not doing a lot with my life.
What have you possibly been gambling on?
It's overcoming my gambling, you jackass. Yeah. I've gambled on the weather. Gambled on the weather. I found some degenerates, and we have gambled on the weather. But then I realized, like, okay, this is bad. And so I have nothing right now. I have nothing. And so if everyone hearing me, just please stay indoors. Like, because you want what we all want. We want sports back. Just stay indoors. Like, there's no need to do anything stupid. Don't be selfish. Like, take one for the team. Just stay indoors. Yeah, it sucks. We're all suffering. But, like, if we all just hunker down, like, I feel like this is the home stretch for the coronavirus. Like, let's hunker down and stay indoors and do what we're supposed to, and everything will be okay. Just don't be an idiot. Don't be selfish. Don't do crazy things outdoors because you want to live life YOLO, you stupid son of a bitch. But I there's so many stupid idiots out there, but just stay indoors for the love of God. Like, I'm suffering over here. Just have some compassion for me and just do it. Just do it, stupid idiots. Like,
okay. You know what we need to do before this podcast ends?
I'm going to have to tweet out that clip.
Well, it was beautiful, and it made my night. You know what we have to do before this is over is we have to talk about Entourage. I love Entourage.
I've watched it so much. I have watched so much Entourage.
Yeah. All right. Let's ask me an Entourage question. Let's give us a topic. Let's get into this.
Do you like Billy Walsh?
Yes, dude. I didn't the first time I watched it, but the second and third times I watched it through, wow, I sound like I have no life. The second and third times I watched it, I love Billy Walsh, especially when he cleans up his life and he comes back as like the straight-laced dad. Oh my gosh, he kills me, dude.
Yeah, I mean,
so funny when he comes back and he's like the morally straight guy in the bunch.
Yeah, I was watching the first season over, and when he wants Vince to do that thing in his movie,
isn't it he has to blow Billy or something?
Yeah, Billy pulls Vince in close and says, "Hey, I'm gonna play the role of the other guy." But it's pretty funny. And I was watching, and Gary Busey was on the other episode, and it was when he confronts Ari at the beach and he says, like, "You're a maggot" or something like that. And Ari's just like, "All right, man, God bless." And Gary's just like, "God bless you too, Ari.
Aren't you? I love it.
God bless you too, Ari." It really is the greatest show, and I've been watching a lot of Curb Your Enthusiasm, and but Entourage, man, I've watched so much Entourage.
You know what I want to do? I'm going to ask for this for my birthday. I'm going to get a red Suits Suck t-shirt and wear it every day of my life. The red t-shirt that Billy wears.
No, because then that's saying that you take Billy's side over E's side.
I mean, I love E too. I really like E as a character, but just Billy makes me laugh so hard, dude.
He's so insane. T-shirt.
Oh man, it's good stuff. I freaking love Billy Walsh.
He's great. I mean, he's a great character in the show. He's wonderful. Like, but I hate him. He's an asshole. But like. He does his job.
Remember when they tried to break in and steal Medellin while he's editing it, and then he just like drives off with it with a motorcycle?
Go F yourself, Suit. he's talking to you. What do you want? An empanada? Huh? You want one of them blow jobs, E?
Oh my gosh, dude, I love Billy.
Yeah, it's
well, let's do your top five characters that aren't in the Entourage. So minus the Entourage plus Ari. So we're not talking Turtle, Vince, Johnny, E, and Ari. None of those guys count. Who are your top five characters?
Not in order. Sandra, the PR person. I think she's hilarious. Yeah. She's so funny when she's like, when Vince just breaks open, when Vince breaks up with Mandy and, that's her name, right? Sandra? Or what's her name?
I can't remember what her name is, but I know what you're talking about. It's the chick. She's like pregnant for half of it.
And yeah. She, and she goes up to the door. Don't make me not open this goddamn door down.
Yeah. And then Ari shows up and she's like, "Go F yourself, Ari."
And Ari's just laughing. Okay, my second character is Lloyd.
Yeah, dude, Lloyd is so funny.
Lloyd, dude, just Ari's interactions with him. It's like, "F you, Yoko. Get E on the damn phone."
My favorite is when he has Lloyd trying to get a hold of Eric, who's with Anna Faris up in the mountains, like doing a photo shoot.
Did you get the Billy Walsh? Shut the fuck up, Lloyd!
Yeah. Well, before that happens, he threatens him. Then if he doesn't get Eric on the phone now, then he's like going to fire him or something.
Yeah. That's so funny.
Oh, don't, dude. Or
think, just pack that shit. Chop suey!
Dude, or the time that he tells Lloyd that he looks like Michelle Kwan, and then he's like,
you look like Michelle Kwan in drag. Why don't you do a triple fucking axel over the table and try E again?
Yeah, that's exactly the scene I was thinking of. Dude, he's
what do you
so
think about
funny.
My new looks? I'm trying Andre 3000.
Dude, Ari is too good, man. He's too freaking good. Yeah, so I'm sorry, keep going. So you have two. You have the publicist, Shauna. It's Shauna.
Shauna.
Yeah, Shauna and Lloyd.
Shauna, Lloyd, Amanda Daniels.
Okay, dude, she's kind of hot. She's a MILF, dude.
She's hot as hell. What are you, crazy? Yeah. I would take her out for some ice cream right now.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. What's that actress's name?
I don't know. God.
Yeah, right? I can't think of her name right now, but she's a hottie. She's also in The Brink. I like her in that, too.
I don't know what the hell that is, but I trust you. Who else is there? I really love I'll put Billy Walsh in there.
Okay.
And then my fifth one. This is a toughie. I'm gonna say Mrs. Ari.
Okay. Oh really? I can't stand Mrs. Ari, dude.
Yeah. She's just her and Ari's not the season that they get a divorce, because that's awful.
That's the grill master. Dude, I think it's so funny that she's sleeping with Bobby Flay.
Yeah, Ari's just like, what's the rush? You want to get a quickie divorce so you can run off with Flay?
Yeah. Or when he comes into his house, he's like, hey, grill master.
And Ari's just like, yeah, that's not your cooking.
Yeah. Oh, I love it, dude.
Such a great damn show.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm not going to go in order either. So this is not number one, but it's my first of five. But playing off the Mrs. Ari thing, I'm going to go with, I can't think of her name. Dana Gordon. I love Dana Gordon, dude.
Yeah, like, she's the best. She's in my top five. I love Dana Gordon.
Why Ari didn't end up with Dana Gordon instead of Mrs. Ari, who I'm not a big fan of, just perplexes me, man. Dana Gordon is like the coolest girl on the planet. I mean, she's a woman. She's the coolest woman on the planet.
Yeah, she's the best. Like, she's – I wish I had a girlfriend to begin with, but I wish I had a girlfriend like Dana Gordon.
Yeah. No, it's my brother called me today. He was watching the episode. It's a little explicit to say on here for my taste, but the episode where he gets her the job as the studio head and she –
I will rub your dick like it's 1989.
Enjoy your own speaker.
And Vincent Ear in the room.
Yeah. Oh, dude. What a good show. I miss this show.
Yeah, I'll probably watch it tonight. Episodes that I've seen 5,000 times, but I don't know sports, and I can't keep playing 2K because I'm so goddamn good.
Dude, I just watched Coronavirus is over. When coronavirus is over, do you want to binge watch the whole series with me?
I mean, I would do it right now.
I gotta stay quarantined until it's over, just because of my mom. But once this quarantine thing is over, I'm gonna come over to your house and we're going to order pizza and watch 31 straight hours of Entourage.
Come on over, dude. I do it every day.
Okay, cool. All right, so I got Dana Gordon. I'm definitely going to throw in Billy Walsh. Dude, do you know who makes me friggin' laugh a ton in that show is Andrew Dice Clay.
He's funny.
Oh, dude, he's so funny in that. And just him and Johnny, when him and Johnny are doing the Johnny's Bananas, dude, that's a funny story arc to me.
Yeah. Just the voiceovers for that show. Oh shit, Ronald.
Oh gosh,
he just,
dude, I love
his
it.
Accent, like, yeah, I'm joking. We got the deal done. We got it done. I told you. Just like, yeah, dude, who are you?
The guy they bring in to impersonate Dice after they fire him.
He does his little twitch.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Oh my gosh. I need more Entourage in my life.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna throw Dice on there. I got to throw Lloyd on there. Dude, one of the funniest things in the world, there's two things with Lloyd that I absolutely love. One, his car is hilarious. Like, the fact that he...
Like, what are you, in Tokyo Drift?
Yeah. His car is so funny. And then the other scene, when Ari makes some, like, joke about, you know, him being gay. And Lloyd is like, Ari, I'm a top. Just the face that Ari pulls.
Ari's just like, wait, what, really? Like,
he's like, so horrifically surprised.
God,
those are my two favorite Lloyd scenes, man. I don't know. Bob Saget's great in that. I don't know if he's in my top five. You know, I'm going to go with Gary Busey. Gary Busey and Bob Saget.
When he says to Turtle, it's when Turtle says to Gary, you scare me, Gary. And Gary goes like, it's the reflection in the mirror that should scare you.
Yeah, dude.
It's so funny.
Oh, I love Gary. Oh, man. Have you ever seen Blue Mountain State?
First season, but nothing past that.
It's good. You should watch season 2 and 3. It, in my opinion, it actually gets progressively better. Well, I think season 2 is the best. I think season 2 is quite a bit better than season 1.
All right. I mean, I got nothing but time, so.
Yeah. And then season 3 is good as well. But, dude, there's – they get a new quarterback in season 2 that is hilarious, man. He's really funny. But, anyways, we're just rambling at this point. You got anything else or should we go?
Let's see what I got to say. I got nothing. I got nothing. I've said my things. Just stay inside, please. Everyone, just for me, for my sanity and for everything that I hold dear in life, just stay inside for me, please. You selfish bastards. Like, just like, I'm supposed to be in Miami this weekend. Like, I'm suffering. I'm very much suffering. So just stay inside and do your job. Don't be a selfish son of a bitch. Like, just do your job and do what you've been told to. And we're going to make it out of this. I am very hopeful and I'm very confident that we will be at Hard Rock Stadium on September 5th.
Yeah, man. I'll be there too. And last thing. If you follow our account, you probably saw our tweet about the Fours Up podcast live draft party. So we're hoping to do a live event where we stream. You know, we kind of do a live show where we're talking about the NFL draft. We're still getting a lot of the details in place, so it might change here or there. But definitely, like, pay attention to, you know, to what we're doing there and we're going to try to include lots of Gaines fans. So when your NFL team is on the clock, we're going to call you in and, you know, have you on the show. And then we can talk, like, in real time about the draft pick and what's going on. And we got a few other ideas that we're going to keep as surprises if they work out. But if all goes according to plan, this should be really friggin' cool, man. It'll be a fun experience for everyone, considering that the NFL draft is the biggest sporting event of 2020 so far. So
yeah, freaking, I'll commit right now to being there. So let's get it going and we're going to have a great time.
Cool. Yeah, it should be a good time, man. And Brad Tejeda is going to help us out with that. He's our dude. So give some love to Brad. Dude, he's a beast.
Yeah. I mean, other than that, I got nothing. I'm going to go on my couch, sit, maybe kind of look at myself, seeing how disgusting I am right now.
If the reflection in the mirror that should scare you, Marsh.
Thanks, asshole.
I was quoting Gary, dude.
I know. Oh, I know what you were doing.
But
you crazy bastard.
Oh, man.
And then next week, we should probably – or we'll probably be recording 2 podcasts, you think?
Yeah, I hope so.
All right. Yeah, we
have some good guests lined up, so.
Let's do it.
Including a Florida Gator. that is not Marsh's Twitter girlfriend? I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's nuts. Like, I said sup to a girl, and I tweet her every now and again, and now I'm and that's another story. But, yeah, go Canes!
Go Canes. Good night. Go Canes.
Good night.
This has been the Fours Up Podcast. Remember to like and leave a comment to help our podcast